Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides podcast. A show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed. Because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello and welcome back to Betches Brides. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Nicole Pellegrino.
And at the end of this episode, or I would say in the middle of this episode, Nicole, I know you, everyone has been asking her about like reception timelines and like what order to do everything. So do you want to explain like the guest that's coming on in a bit?
Yes. So we had Ben Kaufman, the leader of my wedding band, Spectrum Band, on the podcast to talk about just like how to keep the party going, how to structure the actual reception. So he literally went through his ideal timeline of when you should do everything. He was just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all that stuff. We talked about how to pick songs, how to work with your band or your DJ prior to the wedding to communicate with them to make sure, you know, you're getting all of your requests to them and stuff. I mean, it was really a wealth of knowledge episode that I think a lot of you will feel better once you listen to.
That'll be great. Yeah. I'm sure like having a sense for how other people are doing that will help everyone plan their own timelines. Cause it is confusing. Kind of like, unless you're really paying attention when you go to someone else's wedding, you don't really think about that. So I don't think the answers are ever super obvious. Do you know what I
mean? And the flow, we talked about this too. The flow is so important of the reception. Like it's more than just play these songs, don't play these songs. It's like a whole actual flow. And once you don't realize that there's a flow behind it until you actually plan a wedding, but there is.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And for you guys I know you, obviously this is Betches Brides, and I also co-host the You Up podcast with Jared Fried, comedian. And we go through a lot of relationship advice. And I have to say like a lot of married couples also really like it. And a lot of, you know, we've had people who are engaged, people who are dating, come to our live shows. And we're so excited because we have a live show coming up December 8th in New York City. And I'm very excited because Nicole was on the road with us when we did our live tour in 2019. And due to COVID, we haven't done a show in a while. So I'm really, really excited. We're going to play some fun games. It's actually a really fun game to go to with your husband, don't you think?
Yes. Show to go to. You said game to go to. You could, sorry. Could be a game.
Well, I said game because we play a lot of games,
yeah.
Which is why it's really fun because we play like Red Flag or Deal Breaker. You'll get your own paddle and you can like kind of judge your significant other based on what they're answering. And it's just a really, really fun interactive show. And I would love if you guys came out and saw us. I'd love the bride's audience to have
I'm not kidding when I say that it is such a fun show. I got the privilege of seeing multiple in a row in 2019. And we're back and it's literally such a fun show. Grab your significant other, make it a couples like date thing, like grab a bunch of couples and go see it because it's truly just a fun thing to do in the big apple.
Totally. And you know, just because you're in a relationship, you're getting married doesn't mean you don't have your own interesting couple
fights and psychology and other things to deal with. And we go through a lot of relationship stuff too. It's a great show. Check it out. Betches.co/YouUpLive21. That's Betches.co/YouUpLive21 to get your tickets. December 8th, 8 p.m. It's a Wednesday. It's nothing. You're not doing anything that day. I know you guys. so come out. And I would love to meet you guys also in person. So would Nicole, because she'll be there.
Yes, I will be there. We can have a little mini bride's corner and we can just talk about, I'll give wedding advice before the show if you guys come.
Yeah, if you guys come, find Nicole and she will she will choose between three things that you're deciding between for your wedding.
Yes, it'll be a little pre-show, an unofficial little pre-show. And you can only go to it if you listen to this and then get a ticket at betches.co/YouUpLive21.
I love that. So Nicole, you are like a week out when this airs from your honeymoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm sure you're getting excited.
I very
all
much
your outfits.
You know, no, because I got to get my booty to a store and try on some stuff. Apparently you don't want to wear black and you don't want to wear blue on the safari because that attracts the flies. There's a lot to know. You know, I need to do neutral colors and loose fitting clothing. And there's apparently the temperatures fluctuate so much. So it'll be really
layers, I hear.
Yes, right? Layers. Yes. The key word here is layers. But other than that, you know, once I get the outfits, I should be good to go. I'm excited just to like get away. Mike and I never get to just get away, the two of us. Like we go visit family all the time, but that doesn't count at all. Like we just need a trip just to celebrate being married.
Yeah, can just bask in each other's husband and wifiness and right. Really get away from everything. And you're in Africa, so you'll be like unplugged.
Yes, we'll be unplugged, so, but I'll still be, you know, sharing at some point, sharing about the honeymoon.
Unplugged from work, not unplugged from social media, I'm sure.
Exactly. Never.
But yeah, I've started to take your advice of doing like the one thing a day for my wedding. Mike was on his bachelor party last weekend. So it was actually very fun because I got to I was very bored, but I had like a whole checklist of things to do, but it's kind of an awkward phase to be in because I don't have like all of my RSVPs in yet. And because I have to say, okay. So one piece of advice from my mistake that I think the audience would appreciate. So I did online RSVPs.
Oh yes. Right?
And I have to say, I do feel like the response from those is like less than the RSVPs from like a mailing thing. Cause it's like a physical reminder in their face to send it back. And like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like there's someone more pressure. So having gone through the online RSVPs, I do feel like I've had to hunt people down a bit more to get them to do it. Probably just because like, once you see the invitation, you just like, don't really think about it. Another thing I didn't do was I wrote the RSVP by date on the website, but I didn't write it on the card with like the website to RSVP.
No.
So also no pressure there for people. So that's another reason
they're taking their sweet time.
Yeah. And then also, I guess, given like obviously the situation with COVID and a lot of things, a lot of people are like still not 100% positive, like if they're going or they'll know, or like their plus one doesn't know if they're going. So it is like, I'm trying to do a lot of stuff, but like you can't do a lot of stuff you can't do until you have the full numbers. Like I can't do I wish I could do like the tables. I wish I could do like,
seating chart, get ready.
Yeah. Seating chart, getting ready, all that stuff. But it's just like, I need more information.
You need that number. That number, the final guest count hinders everything. Like literally you have to give like, that determines how much you're paying for a bunch of stuff. Cause you give that final guest count before, I don't know if you have to do like escort cards on the tables and things like that, or menus.
Yeah.
Like
all that stuff.
Yep.
You and it's like that. By person. So you really do need that, or like welcome bags. Like it's like, you can't order the welcome stuff or the welcome bags. So you know how many welcome bags you're getting. It's like a lot of small little things like that. And then also I wanted to do a lot of stuff, but like Mike likes to be in, this is the double-edged sword of a fiance who likes to be involved in things. Cause I'm like, oh, I wish I could just like do all of this shit while he's gone. But he like likes to like look at this. Like he likes to like sign off on it too.
He's bottlenecking you.
He is. It's very difficult. So now I'm all backed up on these things, and I'm now waiting for like a review from like the review board. before I can send them back to the people.
That's nice of you. Most brides would be like, no, F you. I'm sending right. it in.
I might do that if he doesn't hit my deadlines. But yeah, it's just a lot of like moving parts, you know?
Yes.
Especially with like the destination travel. There's just like a lot of different things that need other things to get done. And
have you done like tablescape stuff yet?
That's done. Like, I know what I'm doing for all the tables. I saw it when I went to my site visit in June. It was actually great because that was like I paid a little bit of money for them to like bring it and set it up.
Oh, amazing.
The hotel I was at. So they showed the actual tablescape and I really loved it. I was like very excited about it. But it's also like, I don't know how many tables I need.
The thing. You're going to have to give them a final guest count because then they'll, But that's so nice that they have all that.
Yeah. I wanted to do a mix of like, round tables and like rectangular tables, but then also there might be like some COVID rules around in Mexico about how many people you can have at a table. So that also affects my like table seating chart and all that. And then it gets like, I'm sure you can speak to this, but I feel like it gets awkward once you're trying to like divide the tables and then there's like one couple left over and you're like, where am I going to put them? I don't want to be like offensive by putting this person with people they don't know. We're not at like the A-list table. Do you know what I mean?
Literally don't even get me started when it comes to the seating chart. It's so hard to do. It is so hard.
Very political.
Honestly, my piece of advice now for people is like, if you can, if it kind of makes sense to do this, like don't even assign seating. Just let people. I went to the small backyard wedding I went to a couple weeks ago. They did very like untraditional things, like non-traditional, didn't, you know, have a lot of your, I forget what, but didn't have a lot of your typical wedding stuff. But there was no seating chart. So we just all kind of like threw our stuff on whatever table and it kind of worked out well. Like people were like, cool. Okay. We'll sit wherever we want.
Did you assign tables for your rehearsal dinner?
No. No, we did not. We had people walk in. The families were, I think, like it was like Mike's family was sitting at one. Mine family was nearby.
But they like chose that on their own.
Yeah. But we like sat with Mike's parents because it made more sense because my family was larger. But yeah, no, for our friends and stuff, they just sat wherever and it worked out well.
Right. Yeah, that is convenient because it's a whole like political mess, I feel. And then it's so funny. I used to talk so much shit about sweetheart tables. Like I did not like the idea of them at all. I thought they were like kind of tacky. We've even done an unpopular opinion about that. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm like, if I can only have 8 people at a table, and then it's like Mike and I, then I can shoot. Then like one of us gets 2 sets of friends and the other one gets like, it's like too political, like figuring out who gets what, who's at your table. So I'm kind of now into the sweetheart table that I've been talking shit about for like a full year.
No, literally you hate the sweetheart table, but now see, okay. That's the thing. The sweetheart table does avoid so much issues and drama. And I mean, Mike and I each had 10 people in our bridal party. So that's already 20 people plus their dates. We weren't going to have I don't know how big sweet 40
person.
40. Yeah. I guess that's the math. 40 person. So literally like it eliminates, you do kind of feel like my friend said she felt like we were like a king and queen, like dining over there.
That's what I don't like about it is that the vibe is Game of Thrones-y. We're in our own special, like elevated, like we are the king and queen. It feels like court, like you're like a royal court or something.
Yes.
But also, I guess you're not really sitting for like, you're sitting for the speeches. You're not like really sitting and like chatting with your friends. Like you're at a group dinner, like it's your wedding. You're not.
Right.
Maybe while you're eating, but that would be like, I don't know, 15. Truly, like, did you speak to anyone?
Mike and I's fear was that we would feel like we didn't get to speak to anybody and it would just be, and don't get me wrong, it's our wedding. We wanted to be together the whole time. But we also are up each other's butts 24/7 and live 5 feet from each other all the time. So we were like, we don't need to be like tied at the hip completely, but we didn't feel like that. Like we also did our rounds though, during dinner, during salads, where we like went to every single table and said a quick hello, which was stressful, but we're glad we did. But your whole scenario is different because you don't have to do rounds because you're having a whole weekend experience. But so if I were you guys, I would do the sweetheart table because you're not going to feel like you're not seeing enough of your guests.
Right. We're going to have like more than three weekend. Nights with them. Yeah.
Right.
Plus like the day. So.
And it does just eliminate that, like, who's the special ones that get to sit with the couple, no matter how much you tell your friends, like, oh, we picked random. It doesn't matter. Like, don't look into it. They're going to. So if you just want to avoid. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I always do. So I can imagine that other people would too.
Speaking of choosing people, have you chosen like ceremony details yet? Like who's standing where and stuff like that?
What do you mean? So everyone's going to, sorry, go on.
The bridesmaid lineup.
I haven't done that yet either, but your TikTok was so funny. I love the Jersey Shore thing. I love that scene too, just in general. And it was really good it does really accurately describe. Check out the Betches Brides Instagram. Nicole put a really funny TikTok about the politics of that. And it got me obviously really anxious because it's the worst too.
It's like one of the worst moments because my planner was like, okay, who do you want to stand where up next to you at the altar? And you do have to pick an order. A lot of people though do it based on height to eliminate. So that way you tell like your bridesmaids, just, you know, I did it tallest to shortest, stand like that. Or some people do it like based on how long you've known them. I just kind of like literally randomly did it. And I told my friends, I was like, please don't look into this order. You all are most important to me. But they also probably looked into it.
That's a good idea, is to do it by height. It really takes everything out of the equation. But I also have so many siblings. Like I have 5 sisters, right?
That's right.
So like, but I think by the time you get to the friends, no one will even like, I assume the sisters probably go like closer to you just because they're related to you. So I assume by the time you get to the friends, it'll be like, no one will even be thinking about the order.
Right. And that's a given. Already. It's like siblings go first, no matter. Like that's a nice, easy cop out for your friends. You just, totally. People know siblings go first.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that will take some of the edge off of it, but yeah, it's a lot of like weird political stuff. And then also everyone's coming to it's like the same exact people coming to my rehearsal dinner. So I'm like, should I just like do table assignments for both nights and have it the same table?
Are you doing like dress codes for any of this stuff? Like a white party for rehearsal? That's what my friend's doing at hers in February. That's why I'm asking.
I know. I love the idea of a white party. I didn't do one because I have a friend who like did one who was I kind of felt like it's been done for my friends. So
right.
You know, it's like very close to that. But I have like a dress code, like welcome party is like a bonfire. So it's going to be like pretty casual, like whatever you would wear to a beach bonfire. And then rehearsal dinner is like cocktail, and then my wedding is beach formal, which I don't think anyone knows what that means.
Are you getting a lot of questions from people when they receive the invitations about that?
I got some questions, not like a ton. It's also like going to be just awkward because I'm having probably like 75 guests and half of them are in my bridal party. So they're going to be walking down to just like no one.
Look, here's the thing. You're going to look into that way more than your guests are. You're going to feel like even like there something weird happened in our ceremony where the two first rows on like Mike's side technically were empty and only it was his two parents because his sister and my brother-in-law were up standing with us because they were in the wedding party and no other family like felt like they should sit, I guess, in the first two rows on that side. So it was literally poor Mike's mom and dad just sitting there like alone in these two rows. And we were looking back and we were like, why did nobody sit up there? That was so weird. Blah, blah, blah. Like, but it's like one of those things nobody notices. But So if there are any like weird gaps like that.
I mean, that's why I'm not having any of like the bridesmaids or groomsmen like stand. Like once they go down, they're going to like sit so that they can fill out all the seats. I don't want anyone like standing up there.
That's smart. Okay. So they're going to sit in the seats during the ceremony. That's smart. Okay. That'll be nice.
I'll let you know how that goes.
I'm so excited to just see your entire like wedding. Let's call it not even just a wedding. It's a wedding experience. It's an experiential event at this point.
I'm getting very anxious about it, but I appreciate that. Hopefully I'll feel more ready when it's closer.
Don't be. You'll love it. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I hope so. All right. Well, why don't we bring on our guest? And after our guest, the two of us will be back for Unpopular Opinions brought to you by High Noon. And we will finish up with some games. If you guys haven't checked out, by the way, our shop where we're selling great bridal Halloween stuff. We got the zombie bride, zombie groom, great, perfect, no frills Halloween outfit. Cause like no one has time for that. We're planning weddings. And yeah, check it out. And we'll be right back with our guest for the week. So we'll see you soon.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, I am here with a very, very special guest. I am here with Ben Kaufman. He is the leader and lead keyboardist. I believe he plays bass guitar, right, as well?
Yes.
Of My Wedding Band, which I know you've heard a ton about recently. So welcome. My wedding band's name is Spectrum. Welcome to the show, Ben. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a huge honor to be on your podcast and to have had the opportunity to actually perform at your wedding.
No, it was so great. I mean, literally, I had to have you on. I know I drunkenly told you at the end of the wedding. Ben informed me that we had a conversation about him coming on the podcast. And I vaguely, you know, remember bits and pieces, which is funny because the audience makes fun of me because I said I'm only having two drinks at my wedding and that didn't happen. The resounding feedback from our guests was that, you know, everybody loved our wedding. Everybody thought it was so gorgeous, so amazing, so special. They cried, they laughed, whatever, but they loved, everybody said, who is that wedding band? They were amazing. They made the night. So that's why I was like, look, we got to have Ben on. So, okay. First, just before we jump really into the nitty gritty, you are the band leader of Spectrum. Can you kind of tell us how you got into this and how long you've been with Spectrum and how you got into, you know, the crazy wedding industry that we are in?
Sure. So I've been doing this for 28 years. I played in another band for a little bit and then joined Spectrum in 1995. Now in 98, our original female vocalist left the band and was replaced by a female singer named Beth. Beth and I hit it off right away and we started hanging out. And then at the time, our management company made it so that it was that interpersonal band relationships were completely off limits. So we had to fly under the radar and keep it low key. But we eventually came clean and then we got married and had kids. And now we thumb our noses at this no dating rule in the band. Beth has since retired. She's not in the band anymore since our second child, but I'm still going strong after all these years.
I love that. I love when there's love involved in work. I think the no dating rule is stupid. Good thing. Yeah, Mike, I could never work with Mike though, but that's a whole other story. Okay. So basically I know before the wedding, you know, Mike and I met with you. And I remember walking away from that conversation with you. We met over the phone, kind of talked about like logistics, which I'll let you talk about a little more, but I remember walking away from that conversation and feeling a lot better. It was probably, I think, about a month out from the wedding or, you know, a little over a month. I just felt so confident going in. I was like, oh, wow. Like, I fully trust Ben and the band to kind of like own this whole reception and keep it like almost more. I remember telling my planner and stuff. I was like, you know, let Spectrum do their thing with the timeline, with everything. Like, they know it. So can you kind of talk about the process leading up to the wedding? Like, what happens after a couple books you, and like, what do you do after that? Why is it so important to communicate with them prior to the big day?
Sure. So I'm a planner. I like to have as many things under control as possible and kind of give the band the opportunity to, you know everything that's going to be under control is already been controlled. And then when they're there to perform, they can respond to what's happening with the crowd and really create music, create art, and create moments for the couple and make the day really happen. Mm-hmm. So we start talking in advance as early as a couple wants to, really. But the two things we have to talk about are music and the reception timeline. So right. When an event is done, I want every single person who was there to walk away saying that was the best party I've ever been to. Not because the band was great, not because the food was great, because the flowers were pretty or whatever, but it's really about the overall experience. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it's about making the event feel fun and effortless for the guests. And that's created with this reception timeline. So people think music or band or DJ, they think really just about the music, but it's all about, for me, creating that environment for things to happen. So scheduling the formalities in the right place. And there is an objectively correct way to do this. There's a method to it. So when while the music and all those other individual components are important, it's the flow of the night that's going to get your people walking mm-hmm. away saying, wow. And if I had a nickel for every bride or even a planner that I talked to who said, we just want to get everything out of the way and then party. First of all, I'd have a lot of nickels. But every one of those people, I say, no, you don't. Your guests are there to celebrate with you and be present right. at all of these individual moments and make your reception unique and special to you. So it's important to weave those moments into the night and make it feel effortless. Right. I can promise you that nobody wants to sit and watch three slow dances in a row. They don't want to watch your first dance, your parent dances back to back. The right thing to do is break that up. So you highlight the most important thing, the couple dancing their first dance, and you save the parent dances for later. And also we want to give the host the opportunity to give their words of welcome as a toast at the beginning of the night, and then save the friend's speeches or the other toast for later on. So I really love to take part in that planning process for the reception timeline, especially since we're the ones executing the plan. We're the MC, we're making announcements,
right?
And we're adjusting on the fly really to keep the energy right.
That's the thing. You hit the nail on the head. It really does. People think, we get so many questions left and right from our audience being like, which songs do I do? Which songs do I not do? And yes, that's important, but it's way more like you need the person emceeing, the band, the DJ, whoever you hire, you really need them kind of like controlling the whole overall flow. That flow of the reception is so important. And ours honestly felt so like, it felt like it was the right time for the father's daughter or the father of the bride speech. It felt like it was the right time then for the maid of honor speech and the best man speech. And I don't know, it just felt like it was a very well constructed event that just flowed really nicely and well. That was a big point of feedback I even got from guests, which was interesting because I didn't know guests really picked up on flow that much. But can you talk a little bit more about the ideal structure for the reception? Because I know you guys do some specific things within that timeline.
Sure. So it's about creating the energy from the time the doors open and your guests walk into the room. We're playing high energy, mm-hmm. upbeat music, and your guests will feel that as soon as they walk in. From there, we set up your bridal party for introductions. The introductions happen. The couple comes to the center of the floor and we do your first dance. And from that point, we have your guests join in during the first dance, and we actually do a dance set before dinner. And that sets the tone for the night to say, we are here to party. Let's get it going. If you know, especially if you served hors d'oeuvres at the cocktail hour, people are not starving to eat. They don't need to sit down at dinner right away. And this really makes for some of the best moments on the dance floor and some of the best memories.
And real quick, not to cut you off, how long is that dance set you said normally?
It's, you know, 20 minutes to 30 minutes somewhere. Okay. And it doesn't have to be a huge chunk of time.
I remember before our wedding, seeing that on your timeline and kind of at first being like, wait, what was that? Like, what is that dance set? And then I remember you guys, my planner, you guys were like, trust me, it'll work. And it truly did set the tone. It's like you don't walk. I've been to weddings where you walk into the reception and people are kind of always like just standing around like, okay, now what? Like, this was so much fun. That dance set, I think, was so key in just setting the tone for the rest of the night.
It really does. So after that 20 or 30 minutes or so, we'll sit everybody down. The host has their words of welcome. Maybe there's a blessing, and then dinner service starts. And while dinner is happening, we'll have the friends toast a maid of honor. Best man can come up and give toasts. And then after dinner, when all that's done, we draw the attention back to the dance floor by doing the parent dances there. So ideally with the parent dances, if there's two, we would do a short version of whichever the first parent dance is. And then for the second parent dance, we'll do the whole version, but we'll bring the guests up to join in on the second song, just like we did with the first dance at the beginning of the night. That gives people a reason to get up out of their chairs onto the dance floor. And now the dance floor is packed, and we rock until the end of the night. And if the timing is right, that last set is about 2 hours or so. And we may break that up with a cake cutting. And sometimes the couple wants to say thanks or have the last word or the kind of last toast at the end of the night somewhere in that last dance set. But other than that, most often we're playing straight through for that last 2 hours. So that's my ideal timeline. I keep it as a draft, and I don't know if you do show notes, but I can send it over to you and
that would be so helpful, because you read my mind, because I know we're going to get people begging for this actual timeline so we can promote it on the Instagram for you guys and stuff. Thank you. That's so kind of you to share that.
Sure.
So I know, like, during my wedding, there was a specific moment when I remember, I forget exactly when this happened, but because of the way our venue, I talked about this in my recap podcast, because of the way our venue was set up, there were a bunch of people outside at one point because the bars were outside and the beautiful overlook, what's it called, balcony was outside, and it was a gorgeous night. And at one point, I think a lot of people just were like getting drinks and stuff. And you guys did something that literally brought everyone back out onto the dance floor, and people were there for the rest of the entire night. I think it was the song "We Are Family" was played, and somehow you like got everyone in. And I remember that was one of my few Bridezilla moments right before that, because I was like, where is everybody in there outside? But can you kind of talk about, like, well, A, that moment, like, how do you kind of keep people on the dance floor? You know, is it certain songs that you guys do? Is it stuff like that?
Yeah. So we're getting into secrets at this point, but yes, when there are going to be these natural lulls that happen in dance sets, especially if there are distractions, whether they're, you know, yours was just the gorgeous venue itself. Other people bring in distractions, whether it's a photo booth or other things or activities other things that are going to take people away from the dance floor. Now there's times where that gets to be excessive, where we're like, we need to rein this back in and get the focus back on where I know the couple wants it, where I know you wanted it. I know you wanted your people on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. So every band or DJ, for that matter, should have something in their arsenal to be able to bring that back in. And at that particular time, I felt like that was the right choice. So it wasn't just the song, but we bring you to the center of the dance floor and, bring all the guests back by saying, hey, let's focus on Nicole and Mike and get it going again. Right.
It was so, it felt so natural too. Like, people were like, oh, this is so fun. And from that point on, I think, like, when people wanted drinks, we either sent one person to get a bunch, because nobody wanted to go outside to get drinks and leave the dance floor, because they were having so much fun. Sorry, jumping around a little bit.
No, that's fine. Your bar was outside too, right?
Yes.
The COVID rules?
Yep.
Right. Another distraction, right? It's going to pull people up.
Oh, we had so many distractions. And that's a good point. That's just like a point for people, because we get all these questions when people are planning their weddings. Do I have to have a photo booth? Do I have to have a cigar station? Do I have to have a cool whatever? I don't know. You can do so many things at weddings. And sometimes I do think, like, you know, we loved our photo booth. A ton of guests used it and liked it. But I think if you have a really good band or a really good DJ, you don't need all that stuff, because they end up being distractions and taking away from this amazing. But, you know, again, if you have a good band or DJ, they'll kind of pull people back like you guys did. But it's just something to keep in mind. You don't need an activity at every single corner to be doing at your wedding.
It's all a matter of what kind of party you're going for. If totally. You want a dance party, then you don't need all those other things. But at the same time, and I can't remember whether I told you this specifically when we were on the phone, but that your guests are going to take your cue. So if you guys are on the dance floor, then your mm-hmm. guests are going to join you on the dance floor. If you are out mingling and talking, they're going to
mingle
be
and
less
talk.
Inclined to be on the dance floor. Yep.
Totally. So do you, I know when we were planning prior, we gave a couple songs like Do Not Play, and those were your typical, like, I think it was a Bruno Mars song or something. I was just like, I've heard it at too many weddings. Don't play this one. And I think we also gave a couple that we saw on your guys' song list that we just really loved. And we were like, you know, love this one. No pressure if you play it or not, but love it. Do you like when couples do that? Or do you guys like better when they kind of leave it up to you?
I think you gave the perfect amount of interjection and suggestion for what I'm looking for really from a client. So either way is fine. If a client says, gives us no guidance at all, that's totally fine. We don't come in to an event with a set list. We are dynamically reading what's happening at the event and calling the next song, based on what's happening, what I think is going to work. Now we always have are a couple of go-tos where we know that these two or three songs go together. But beyond that, I'm responding to what's happening at the crowd with the crowd and calling the next song based on that. So if you give us requests, I'm going to keep them on a list in front of me and work mm-hmm. them into the night when the right time is. And if you're sick of Bruno Mars, then we won't play any Bruno Mars that night. We're fine. We're fine taking the night off of that. But if you provide a list, we'll be sure to work those must plays in.
Okay. But you don't like when a couple gives like an entire play this whole like this at this point, because that just no. I mean, well, that's the thing. It's like trust your vendors.
Oh, I've had people that have given me a list of like, I have to hear these 50 songs and that's my whole night, or for that matter, taken our song list and crossed out all but 50 songs and that very much put us in a box. And I'm like, I'm sorry you spent all this time on this, but we're not using this list because you just completely tied my hands, right?
Right. My thinking when talking to you guys and about this was, you guys have done a trillion weddings at this point for the past 28 years. I've done zero. This is the first wedding I've planned. So I was like, I trust your taste better than I do my own when it comes to like playing the right songs to feel out the vibe of the party. So that's kind of like a tip I'd say to other couples and brides is trust your vendors. They've been doing this longer for you than you. So I don't know. It's just trust them.
Yeah. No, that's great. Also, if a client has requests that aren't on our song list, that's great. We want that. We learn music every single week. Anyway, so if a client doesn't give us requests, we're going to, either pick up something that's hot and new, or something that's a classic that's just going to be new to us, because that keeps us fresh. It keeps our song list fresh and really, I mean, it just keeps us from getting stale. We do this a lot, and we don't want to play the same song every night for 20 years. Right.
I think I said, can you guys do Dua Lipa's Levitating? And you were like, oh, that's a new one, but sure. And it ended up being so good. So
yes,
made you learn that one for me.
Yeah. No. And we picked up another Dua Lipa song since then as well. So, what we do during the dance set is I think when people compare a band to a DJ, it's like, well, they think the DJ is going to beat mix and they're going from song to song to song. But, that's what we try to do with the band as well. And it's not that we're hitting one particular genre. We're moving from, old to new and all in between. And there's no time in between songs. So we'll go from like Michael Jackson, Dua Lipa, mm-hmm. Rihanna, Marvin Gaye, Bruno Mars, whatever, just like a DJ would, only it's live. And that really sets like this energy. And also anybody who's hesitant to book a band, I think the way we do it, at least, is there's no downtime in between songs.
That was key. Also, just like You guys literally were playing music the entire time. Like even during dinner, you played, I think it's called La Via and Rose, or I'm butchering that, but my dad came up to me and was like, this is my favorite song ever. How did they know this? And I was like, I don't know. And it was like the perfect song for dinner. I told the whole podcast audience this, you guys are sick of hearing it, but my favorite moment from the entire wedding, I think, was the Casey and JoJo All My Life song during dinner. Like, yeah. I mean, it was just amazing. They was awesome. You guys serenaded us. So all that said, are there any kind of songs? We had a lot of audience questions about songs that you recommend versus recommend not playing. Are there any songs that you definitely recommend not playing at a wedding, or any types of music?
So I think the only thing that's off limits really is like offensive, harsh, misogynistic rap music, really. Like that's the only absolute no. I can tell you that we've been doing this a while, and I think there was an older formula for the dance sets that used to be like, we'd play a few dance songs and then a ballad, like almost with a 3-to-1 ratio where it's like dance, 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 and then a slow song. And that's really fallen out of favor now, where we keep it consistently up tempo. And I'm not saying there's no place for a ballad in a dance set, but it has to be done at the right time. In the wrong spot, it will really kind of drain the energy out of the room. But beyond that, there's really nothing that's off limits.
Off limits. Okay. Yeah. Are there any must play songs that our audience should know about, or ones that you've seen really get the party going lately?
So, I mean, this comes and goes so much, right? But anything that is danceable and crosses generations, meaning it's recognizable. So I think years ago, I felt like we could classify a song as either a current song or an oldie, or, you know, and that was pretty much it. So we'd either have the couple and their friends on the floor or their parents on the floor.
Right.
And now, and I say recently, but it's really been like the last 15 years, pop music's gotten better. And better in my context is it's more melodic and it's more danceable. So now we have young people listening to like classic rock and 80s music, and people of my parents' generation loving Bruno Mars and Lizzo. And it's like, it's so much easier to keep a dance set going with everybody there because of the way pop music has progressed over the last few years. And it just
totally,
you know, and, you know, I could, any individual songs I tell you now are going to be dated in 6 months. So
totally.
It's really just whatever's hot now.
So I do think like Lizzo is a perfect example of cross-generational one. Like parents love it. Kids love it. Everybody. I mean, and people, Jordana, my co-host, and I always say this, people love songs that they can sing along to, and like that relatable aspect. If somebody can like sing along to the band on us with a song, like it's going to be a banger.
Yes.
Random audience questions. What are your thoughts on bridal party entrances? I know we did this, I think it was your idea to do everybody just enter at one point. I forget whose idea it was. Maybe our planners. Somebody thought of we just threw our bridal party in at one point at the beginning of the reception, because I had such a big bridal party. I was like, look, I'm not going to make them like make up a dance on the spot and do a little silly entrance thing. So we just kind of, you guys played a really fun song. I think it was Bring 'Em Out by T.I. I think Mike picked that one. but it was fun. They thanked us for it. What are your thoughts on that? Like, are you seeing that bridal party entrances are kind of becoming outdated, or?
Yeah. So I don't have a personal opinion on it. I mean, you know, in terms of people think, well, I'm not going to do it because it takes away from the party. But I mean, even with a big bridal party, it's really only the length of one song or so. So I think most people do think it's nice to single people out who, you know, took the time and were in the bridal party. But it's also become much more popular to do what we did at your wedding, which is to bring the bridal party out as a group, especially when you have a large bridal party. But I mean, personally, I don't have an opinion. I'm just kind of like, whatever I'm seeing, I kind of share with our other clients and brides and say, here are your options, really, and just leave it up to them. But, you know, either way is fine.
So. Right. And that's a good point. I think a lot of people are like, oh no, it'll take so long, but it's really just one song. So if you do want to do it, just do it. It's not going to like take away from it's not going to take up the entire reception length. Is there anything else that you feel like you know, couples should know about making sure they have, they're working with their band, they're working with their DJ, whoever, upfront to make sure they have, you know, the most fun reception possible.
I think the most important thing, we talked about the timeline, that's important. And then, you know, I do get questions a lot about, you know, what are my, can you give me some options for first dances or parent dances? I think there are, it's really unlimited with the options. It's whatever's special and meaningful to you. So on your first dance, for example, like don't hold back and don't shy away from something that's maybe overplayed or tired because it's a classic, because they're classics for a reason. They're good songs. And a lot of people see meaning in them, which, you know, which is okay. And we do tend to play a lot of the same songs for first dance numbers. And in parent dance songs, kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, whatever's meaningful to you and your parents, the only word of caution there is like, you really want to check the lyrics before you pick your parent, a song to dance with your parents too. Mm-hmm. So a song like Shining Star by the Manhattans is a fantastic tune. And the title says, you know, oh, you're my shining star. That's great. The sentiment and even the chorus sounds great, but then your band might die a little bit inside when they have to sing Feels So Good when we're lying here next to each other when we touch I Love You So Much. It's really, really awkward. So, yes. So listen to the song and maybe cut a verse if you need to there. So
yes, listen prior, listen to the lyrics, listen to the meaning behind it. Like I've yep. seen some people like pick songs that they think is like a loving song, but it really is about like a breakup or something. So yeah, definitely do that. And I say practice before. So my dad and I didn't practice, and I talked about this in the last episode. He was throwing up throwing in like a two-step here and there. And I was like, hey, you know, it went well, whatever. But I was like, I wish we practiced this before.
Yes.
But yeah. It was still so much fun.
Yeah. But you don't need to take dance lessons either, right? You want to have an idea about what you're doing. And there are people that do these elaborate things, you know, and especially for first dances. But it's, you know, I think just having a sense of what you're going to do is fine, but you don't need to go to dance lessons for years. Sorry if you went to dance lessons for years.
Right. No, but that's the thing. It's like, we get these questions all the time. Like, which first dance song do I do that's not overdone and overplayed and that's original? And I'm like, well, first of all, you're never going to have an original song that nobody else has ever done at their wedding unless you physically make your own or somebody does for you. But so like you said, I think that's a really good tip. Pick songs that just mean something to you, the lyrics, the beat, whatever, that you feel special about, because when it comes down to it, everybody, if somebody else has it at their wedding, so be it. That means that it's a good song. So yeah, just pick, they're classics for a reason. So just don't worry about having an original song. But anyways, well, thank you so much. That time has flown. I feel like we could go on for literal days talking about all of this. So we might have to do something with you where we get more questions over to you and maybe do like a takeover or something. But where can everybody find you and find Spectrum Band?
We have a fantastic partnership with Washington Talent Agency, which has been super important to our success. They, you know, they're hugely respected. They've been around forever and they're truly great people over there. So you work with Brian Morris, also Shauna Purnell, Jake Robert, these folks, they really get it. They care on a personal level. And then they really take the business stuff, all the paperwork, all the contracts, the marketing off of our plate and let me and the band really focus on what matters at each event. So we're Spectrum at Washington Talent. So.
And Washington Talent has a bunch of bands too. So yeah. Good to know. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ben. Yeah. Now it's time for Unpopular Opinions, brought to you by High Noon Hard Seltzer. Some of these opinions might be unpopular, but you know what's really popular? High Noon Hard Seltzer, with flavors like pineapple, black cherry, watermelon, grapefruit, peach, lime, mango, and passion fruit. They've got you covered for whatever occasions, be it your batch party, your bridal shower, your cocktail hour, you name it. Our first opinion for today is...
If you move, it's your responsibility to notify the couple for invites. What do you think?
I picked this one because you're probably going through this right now. Well, you went through it where you sent out your invitations. I don't know if you had to chase some people down, but I did, being a COVID bride, planning your wedding over for like getting addresses 2 years ago and then having to get new addresses now. It was insane. So here's the thing. I actually disagree, because I think if you are a guest and you're sending the couple your address, it's kind of almost a little presumptuous. Totally. It might feel like you're like, hey, I know I'm invited, so here's my new address.
Right. Well, it's like if you're close enough that you're like speaking to them regularly and you feel like you're good friends and you would be talking to them anyway, then yeah, like where it's obvious you're invited. Like if it's your like maid of honor and she moves, like great. Or you probably know they were moving too, though.
That's the thing. If you're very close, you're going to know they moved regardless.
That's
and you should
true.
Send them. You should send them your new address. In that case,
what if they're a friend that you see like once every 3 or 4 months? Those are like the ones where this is like the issue, where it's like,
yeah,
you know, we may have moved, it may have not come up, and like, we're probably invited, but it's not like 100% obvious.
I think the rule of thumb is, I guess, if you received a save the date, and if this wasn't like, I'm not talking COVID brides that sent you a save the date in 2019 and now are figuring out their new plans, because they could have very much uninvited you. So don't assume. But normal wedding, if you received a date X amount of months ago and a save the date, and you're right to assume that you are getting an invitation, because that's what a save the date means. I think you can follow up and be like, hey guys, I know you sent the save the date to our address, but we actually just moved to this address now. Just wanted to give you a heads up just so you have it. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if someone asks me for an address on the save the date or for the save the date, I did paperless post save the dates. So I ask people for their address there too. So then it's like, okay, they clearly want to know my most up-to-date address. So I would try to, I mean, obviously there's so much going on in people's lives. It's hard to like, remember, like when you move, like to check off the checklist of like telling your friend who's having a wedding. Like, I don't think that's top of mind for most people who are moving. Right. Like, let me tell everyone whose wedding is in the next year. About that. So I do think it's like on, but what we did for our invitations is like right before we were going to send them, we just like followed up with anyone we were like unsure, especially during the pandemic. Yeah. We were like unsure if they like, some people moved home. Like, are you still living at home or did you move back? Like, I'm not really sure. So I do think it kind of, I agree with you. It is on the couple who's getting married.
And as guests, just make sure when you are moving, just in case, you're setting up the forwarding mail thing that you're supposed to do when you move. But, you know, if the couple accidentally sends to your old address, you'll get it. 82% of our audience agrees that it is on the guest to notify the couple. So that's interesting.
So I guess they disagree with us. Okay.
Yeah.
Should we do another one?
Yes. Okay. So this one is, you don't need to get ready with everyone in your bridal party.
I know you don't need to, but I feel like that's part of like the experience of the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it makes it more exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I would never want to like get ready alone on my wedding day. I feel like that would just be a recipe for disaster for me. Like, it is part of the experience. I think that time from having it was so fun. And so you're just like giddy. You're with your best friends and you're getting ready for this huge day. It's a really fun time. But at the same time, I've seen some TikToks of these brides that are like, nope, I want to do my own makeup. I want to be alone. I want to like get ready in peace. And if you want to do that, I think more power to you.
I think it totally depends on like, you know, yourself. Are you like someone who gets like more energized from being around other people, or are you going to be like depleted from being around other people?
Right. But I do think like, if you do, I think this opinion might be asking, like, if you do have a chunk of bridesmaids, are you okay? Are you allowed to only pick like one or two of them to get ready with? Oh. And I would say like, that's not okay, because they're bridesmaids for a reason.
I think that's a little awkward. Like, it has to be all or nothing.
Right. Right. I agree. 56% of people disagree that. So they're saying, yes, you do need to get ready with everyone in your bridal party.
Okay. The bride's dress doesn't need to be kept a secret.
Yours is pretty secretive, right? Or have your like bridesmaids seen it?
I don't proactively show it to anyone. I prefer also to not like send it out. But if I'm with someone and they're like, can I see your dress? I'll like pull up a picture of it.
Right.
I don't know why I won't send it out. I'm just more like, I don't know. Like, I don't really think it should be a secret. Like, I don't really care. But it does feel like it's kind of like everything about the wedding. Like, you don't want to like tell so much about it before that people are like, they already know.
That's the thing. You want some element.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. You want some element of a surprise and a wow factor. And I don't think it needs to be like a lockdown secret. I do know some brides who have done that. And it is a very fun, like wow moment for the friends and bridesmaids if they've never seen. I was different. Like, I needed my friends' opinions on my dress. Did my shoes go with my dress? That kind of thing. My earrings, which ones to pick, whatever. So I showed them my dress. But I mean, I think definitely keep it a secret from your significant other who you're marrying, obviously. And then I was like you. I didn't really send it out. I just...
Right. Well, it's like, we kind of talked about this a while ago, too. It's kind of like, I don't really want... If I send it, I know that anyone who I send it to is going to at least pretend that they love it. Right. So it's not really like it's more for them to show them than it is for me. Cause once I bought it, no one's going to like talk shit about it to my face. So like, to me, it's almost more annoying to have to send it to people because then I'm like, I don't even want you like having an opinion in your head. Like, I'd rather just like just show it to you. But the point of no return, and you can tell me that you love it regardless of if you do, like when you see me in it in person.
Right.
But I don't really like want anyone's opinion on it after, especially after I've already bought it. Like, I prefer, I don't like showing the people the dress for that reason. I'm just kind of like, this is my decision and I liked it. And I don't want like, I don't want your fake positive opinion or your real positive opinion.
You can sense when they're being kind of fake. Because I've had that with a couple people. You show it to them and they're like, oh, I love it. But it's like such a fake, I love it. And you're like, okay, no, you don't. And then because you've already made the decision to purchase the dress, that gets in your head and makes you like regret it a little because it's their opinion. And it's so just
like, what's the point? Sticky, what's the upside?
Exactly. So I don't know where we land on this.
But I think that's the only reason to keep it a secret is because you're just like, I like don't want to talk to you about this. Like, I've already made the decision and like you can like it or hate it. But like, I don't want to it's like get in my head.
Right. Exactly. And it will. They'll get in your head, those opinions. So I guess keep it a secret. The audience was quite torn on this as well, because last time I checked on this one, it was 50% each way agree and disagree. So.
Okay. That seems very, very, very torn. We'll have to figure it out. But that was Unpopular Opinions, brought to you by High Noon Hard Seltzer with 100 calories, gluten-free, and no added sugar. High Noon is more than a drink. It's a way of life, an attitude, a vibe. Because when the sun's up, there are always good times to be had. We love High Noon. As you can see, it's the perfect for all your pre-wedding, actual wedding, after the wedding events. I love all the pineapple one is like still my favorite, I have to say. But they're all kind of amazing in their own way. I will never turn one down, even if it's not my number one flavor, because even the number 2, 3 flavors are still pretty awesome. And you can find out where to purchase High Noon by visiting highnoonspirits.com. And that's it for us. We will see you next week. Till death do us part.
The Betches Brides podcast is produced by Nicole Pellegrino, Sean Kilby, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Brides and send us your emails to brides@betches.com. Betches.